called Krishna Devaraya. You heard of him? Not very famous here? You have. And he also had not a minister but a jester, Tenali Ramakrishna. You heard of him? Oh, okay. Are there Andhra people? Telugu people? Okay. Tenali nunchi vachinara? Okay. Recently in the United States I met a doctor whose second name is Tenali. I was immediately excited about this. I thought, you are from Tenali? I asked. He said, yes, my village is Tenali. Then I was joking to him about Ramakrishna, but the unfortunate thing was he had never heard about Tenali Ramakrishna, and he did not know that he came from his village. Maybe he went to the United States too early. Anyway, one day, Krishna Devaraya was having a haircut. The royal barber was giving him a haircut. He was civilized, you know, not... And a crow came and sat there and started doing its usual kaka. The barber stopped the haircut with arresting attention, just started listening to the crow. Krishna Devaraya looked at him and said, what is this? What are you listening to the crow? As if you can understand what the crow is saying. He said, wait, Your Majesty. Wait, he has a message. And very carefully heard it for a long time and then shook his head. Krishna Devaraya became very curious. What is this? You understand the crows? Yes. What is he saying? Your Majesty, this crow has come as a messenger of your forefathers from heaven. And what he is saying is that they are in heaven and uncared for. Above all, there is nobody to entertain them. There is nobody to keep them happy. They are there, everything is physically taken care of, but there is nobody to entertain them. So they are really longing for some help from you. That's why they have sent this crow as a messenger. We must send somebody to heaven to entertain your forefathers. How can we leave them like that unentertained? Your forefathers. Krishna Devaraya immediately became very emotional. My forefathers are bored and suffering because of lack of attention and entertainment. I must send the best entertainment. So let's see who is the best dancer, who is the best musician, who is the best whatever, all this. Then a few other courtiers arrived and all of them said, oh, Your Majesty, if you are willing, I am willing to go, but I can't sing for nuts. But if you want me to go and serve your forefathers, I will go to heaven and serve right now. Like this they built it up. But then they said, no, for your forefathers we must send the best of the best. How can we send? A musician, how long can he entertain you? If you hear him for 2 days, you finish with him. If you send a dancer, how long? If you see him for a few days, you finish with him. We must send somebody who can keep them continuously entertained. Who better than Tenali Ramakrishna? He can keep your forefathers forever entertained because he is so ingenious. He is the best guy. Krishna Devaraya also agreed, there is nobody like Tenali Ramakrishna. He is the best entertainment. I wouldn't like to part with him, but my forefathers, he was in emotion. He said, yes, we will send Tenali Ramakrishna. Then Tenali Ramakrishna was called and he heard the story as to how he should go to heaven to serve the forefathers. Immediately he took on the act. Oh, Your Majesty, I am more than willing. This is such a honor. I am going. I also know this whole thing, how to go. The barber had also received instructions as to how to send a man to heaven. The crow instructed how to send a man to heaven. They said, you must make the man sitting facing south and then you must get lot of sandalwood, camphor and ghee. The heap should raise well above an elephant, a full-grown elephant, and it should be only sandalwood, pure ghee and camphor. And keep the man inside, build this whole heap and then set fire to it. As it goes, this fire should burn for a minimum of 3 days and then the man will evaporate and go to heaven and serve the forefathers. Tenali Ramakrishna said, this is the correct method, this is the best way. I will go and serve your forefathers. It is just that, let me make the preparation. I want to purify my body and my mind and everything before I go there. I want to take off all the doshas in me. Give me just 30 days time. A grand site was prepared, a huge thing going on. Tenali Ramakrishna personally went and supervised the whole process. And he only set up this whole thing with his trusted labor. He created the whole site the way he wants it. Krishna Devarai was moved with Tenali Ramakrishna's dedication towards his forefathers that he is willing to go to heaven. The day came and Tenali Ramakrishna went in into a haystack first, and then over that this whole hill of wood and ghee and camphor was built and then set fire. 3 days it was kept burning. After 3 days, nothing but ashes were there. Tenali Ramakrishna disappeared. Many months passed. Krishna Devaraya wondered what is happening to his forefathers, because the damn crow did not come again and tell what is happening. Every day when the crows came, he asked the barber, what are they saying? What are they saying? This is not the crow, this is just an ordinary crow, not the messenger crow. After 8 months, one day, when Krishna Devaraya was in the full assembly of the court, Tenali Rama arrived with long hair and a long beard. And he bowed down to Krishna Devaraya, and Krishna Devaraya was overjoyed that Tenali Rama has come back from heaven. And he said, what is happening? Are my forefathers well? Did you keep them happy? I kept them very happy. They have been splitting in their sides with my jokes. They are really enjoying everything. It is just that they have one problem, Your Majesty. What is that? He said, there are no barbers in heaven. Look at me. Even I couldn't have a shave. And your forefathers, for so many years, they're tripping on their own beards. It's become really difficult that they're carrying long beards around their neck and they're really having a problem. They need a good barber. We must send the best barber. Of course, the best one is the royal one. Krishna Devaraya immediately said, I will send my personal barber. The barber quaked. Then he came and fell at Krishna Devaraya's feet and admitted, I did this horrible thing. Why I am saying this to you is, once you are identified with something, your perception gets so distorted. So distorted. From the day you are born, to increase your identity with your family, your parents have been campaigning how you belong to them and what. To increase your loyalty to your community and caste and creed and religion, other people have been campaigning. To increase your loyalty and you're even willing to die for your country, some other people are campaigning. on different levels, people are constantly campaigning to ensure that you are deeply, deeply identified with something so that you will serve those purposes. Nobody wants you to be a liberated human being because they are afraid of freedom. They believe that if one is free, he may do irresponsible things. Only because one is not free, he does irresponsible things. If one is truly free, why will he do anything irresponsible? Why will he do anything harmful? He is not free in his mind, that is why he does desperate things, isn't it? He is too identified with himself and nothing else, so he can harm somebody else. If he is not even identified with this one, there is no harm coming out of such a human being. It cannot come out of him. So because of these campaigns, you get so identified and everything gets distorted. We can run a campaign to make you believe just about anything. I want you to know this. If we campaign hard enough, we can make you worship anything, we can make you hate anything, we can make you love anything, we can make you give up your life for anything. It is just that we have to work on your identification. How strong is your identity? That is how much you go, isn't it? Once your intellect is identified, mind is no more a harmonious circus, it's a mess of a circus. The whole system of yoga, the technology of yoga, is only towards this. Right now, what we are offering as inner engineering is fundamentally just this. It's not a teaching, it is not a philosophy, it is not an ideology or a belief system or a religion. It is just a technology to create a distinction. If you go into this process, what they are doing to you is just this. If you sit here, your physical body is here. What you call as your mind is out here. What is you is away from this. Once this little space between you and the activity of the mind, between you and the activity of the body arises within you, now mind is no more a mess. It is a great symphony. It is a tremendous possibility. It can take you to great heights. If this distinction is not there, it is this distinction which unfortunately got misinterpreted as non-attachment or detachment. Yes, you must detach yourself from your body experientially. Not detaching yourself from family or people or whatever else from life around you. That's very easy. When they become inconvenient, you can detach yourself. Then a divorce is a detachment, isn't it? A divorce is not a detachment. Detachment means that you have disentangled yourself from the process that you call as body, from the process that you call as mind, because both these things are an accumulation from outside. This body, how did you gather this? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner and snack. How did you accumulate the mind? All the impressions that you received through the five sense organs became the mind. So these two accumulations, if you have to gather so much accumulation, naturally there must be something more fundamental than that within you, or what you call as yourself, should be something little more than the accumulation that you gathered. So once this distinction arises within you, once you liberate your mind from being identified with anything, then mind is a miracle. Mind is a spectacular circus, not a mess. If you have questions.
Sadhguru, what is the process for identification?
Now, whatever is generally being referred to as a spiritual process, let's understand what that is. You telling your prayers may not be spiritual. Why I'm saying this is, 99% of the prayer on this planet is only about, Dear God, give me this, give me that, save me, protect me. That is a survival process. It's just that you're rooting your survival through heaven, that's all. So what you're referring to as spiritual ease, that in some way the experience of your life has transcended the limitations of the physical. The body is physical, the mind is also physical. When I say the mind is physical, it is just like, you can very clearly see that this light bulb is physical. But the electricity behind the light is also physical. The light that it throws out is also physical. Similarly, not only your brain is physical, the mind is also physical, the thoughts that it generates also is physical. Whether you are thinking about the God or the devil, it is still physical. No, I am thinking spiritual thoughts. There is no such thing. Thought is physical. And whatever you think is always coming from a certain accumulated information within yourself. Information is physical. Memory is physical. Gathering of information is always physical, isn't it? It may get subtle, but still physical. So, if your experience of life comes to a point where something beyond the physical becomes a living reality for you, then you're spiritual. In what way is it significant to make this happen? If a dimension beyond the physical becomes a living reality for you, then naturally the body and the mind are two processes that you handle sensibly. You will see, the moment this experience arises within you, the way your physical body reorganizes itself, its capability to reorganize itself is absolutely miraculous. You will see people go through one single initiation. When they come out, their faces have changed. Within a week or two, you will see the very way their body functions will change. The very way they look, you will see there is a difference. Because body's ability to reorganize itself, if you liberate it from a deep, crippling identity, is so fantastic. The same goes for the mind too. Mind will go through tremendous transformation that may not be visible for other people, but the body's transformation will be clearly, clearly visible because it can be easily measured. So what needs to happen for you to have a dimension beyond the physical alive within you is, right now your whole perception is limited to 5 sense organs. 5 sense organs in the very nature of things can perceive only that which is physical. Is it so? You can see, hear, smell, taste and touch only that which is physical. That which is beyond the physical cannot be perceived by sense perception. So if your senses or if your perception raises beyond the sense perception, then that which is beyond the physical becomes a living reality for you. Why is it that it is not on in everybody? Why is it so? It is simply because for the survival process to happen, for your survival to be taken care of, 5 sense organs are more than enough. So they come to you at the very time of moment of birth and they are on. These 5 sense organs are more than sufficient for you to survive on this planet. So they are on by themselves. Only if you develop a longing to know something beyond survival, if you transcend the limitations of the instinct of survival, only then the other dimension of perception becomes open within you. Otherwise, they never open up. They just don't open up because you don't create that possibility within yourself. Right now, if you look at your life, every single activity that you're performing in your life is all about survival. Physical survival, psychological survival, emotional survival, financial survival, social survival, like this, many levels of survival, but it's all survival. So when everything in you is focused only on survival, the very nature of the instinct of survival is that it wants to build protective walls around you. You are many concentric walls actually. You will see these walls, If a man that you do not know approaches you, you have a wall there, right there for him. He has to stop right there. If your neighbor comes, you have a wall there for him. If your friend comes, you have a wall here. If your family comes, you have a wall here. But for everybody, you have a wall, isn't it? You are many concentric walls, one over the other, because this is the work of